Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Urban Media Today talks sports. Trevin A. Jones here with the fellas. Uh-oh, it's down to the three. Uh-oh. Man, you in for a weekend this weekend. Saturday morning, beautiful Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, plenty of pro football going on Sunday. Yes. You got the World Series taking place. You got college football taking place today. Did you catch the HBCU Black College Football Report last Saturday?
Nope.
I didn't. You didn't?
See,
you missed out. The HBCU Black College Football Report kicking off at noon today. Got to check that out. Again, fellas, I'm on my way back to D.C., nation's capital. It's Howard homecoming, so I'm definitely going to enjoy this weekend. South Carolina State coming to town. Howard is actually number three on our poll, so that means that the Howard Bison are doing some things. And just listen to the report at noon.
I did watch that game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, because you texted me. You said you were watching.
Yeah.
He was looking for me because he was looking for you. Which is funny. I was glad. I was like, yo, I got mad support. I'm feeling that. And it was an exciting game, too. Howard and Morgan State. That game was off the hook, man. Dedrick Parsons ended up running. Well, he broke two 30-yard runs at the end of that game, which actually helped Howard beat Morgan State. That's HBCU football, of course. And then got to big up the big guy, Alan Lincoln. Thank you very much, because everything that's happening is because of you. And we're growing. Leaps
yes,
and bounds,
sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, Urban Media Today Talk Sports. What do we want to talk about? Ray, I think it's your turn to start.
Yes, and I do have a question for you, sir. Since you were out of town, man, you know, going down there to Howard, did you get me something?
Vince, when is he going to learn? I'm still looking for a red terrible towel.
No.
And the minute I see a red terrible towel, then Ray will get something, which means you're not getting them, bro.
Good answer. But I mean, you're leaving Pittsburgh, so. But I wanted a Howard helmet. One of them nice HBCU helmets with the radio in it, of course. You
but
know.
See, no, you got to go yourself, man.
One day I will.
We don't go and then come back. You got to go enjoy the whole HBCU experience, because the bands are off the hook.
Absolutely.
Howard's homecoming this weekend is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be ridiculous. It is just fun. It doesn't matter if you're old, young, whatever. It's just to see the people, our people together, and having a good time, enjoying a football game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the students bring life to the campus.
That's great, man.
You know, alumni coming back. And I didn't even go to Howard. I went to Norfolk State, which I missed their homecoming last week, Vince, because I was in Baltimore doing the Maryland game, the Morgan State-Howard game.
Jeez.
But, yeah, it's awesome. And speaking of college football, though, we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at, because you got all the sports happening.
For sure.
You got football, baseball, basketball, everything, hockey.
Everything's happening. Yeah.
The big thing we got to talk about, though, I think NBA. Let's start off with the NBA. No, Ray, it's your turn.
I was about to say, he just changed up on me, man.
Go ahead, Ray. What were you starting with?
I think he should give me a pizza.
In the We're NFL. Not even going to talk about the pizza, right, Vince?
Right.
Okay.
Why not?
Because you were supposed to order it.
Well, I'll get back to you on that.
Two months ago. He's asking me when I'm bringing him back.
We'll make it happen. You know, there's so much going on in the NFL. But how about this news? NFL fires an official. And of course, you know what that happens. The NFL Referees Association had a problem with it. But this is the first time, as they say, in the Super Bowl era that they actually relieved a referee from his duties. His name is Hugo Cruz for performance reasons. So isn't that something?
Well, he did miss a huge false start penalty
in the
Chargers-Browns game a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, man. That was obvious. I mean, everybody on TV saw it on TV, and it's like, come on, ref, what are you going to call this or not? Right. And I think the players anticipated him calling it, which he never called.
And they relaxed, and then they scored.
So I'm sure the Browns fans, Vince, wasn't happy, but the Chargers fans were probably very happy.
at the end of the day, you know, I mean, the Browns lost by a bigger margin than that one touchdown.
Right.
You know, so to me, not only as a fan, but as an observer, as a critiquer of the game, there's a lot more that, that happened besides that one play.
Right.
So, and Baker Mayfield, maybe not, and he said something, you know, this week, maybe not on par with that situation.
Right.
But he basically said, like, it's up to the players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't get your, let yourself get into a situation where the ref, the umpire in any sport dictates the outcome of the game.
True that.
So, he knows players, and I'm sure league wide, NFL wide, NBA, whatever league you want to talk about. That's why I'm always hesitant about criticizing refs too much, because players have a bigger responsibility to determine the outcome of games, and when they don't do their job, you know, then you lose.
Absolutely. And the way I was looking here, it says that the NFLRA, as allowed by its collective bargaining agreement with the NFL, has up to 90 days to file a grievance. Of course, the spokesperson for the Refs Association, Scott Green, of course, he spoke his piece, you know, saying that the NFL has a troubling history of knee-jerk reactions with an eye on public relations, and clearly has not learned from past mistakes. So, I mean, okay, so he says that, but what about their mistakes? You know what I'm saying? It's always something.
he's a union chief. Mm-hmm. Man, he's supposed to say that.
Yeah, he's supposed to. Absolutely. Yeah. But it's just something.
You know what? I want to go back to that for a second, Vince. And that was interesting. I know we always end up talking about the Cleveland Browns or Pittsburgh Steelers or whatever, and I get that.
I ain't
but
say a
bear with me for a second here. Do you know the Cleveland Browns played in 4 overtime games so far this season?
Right. Isn't that a record?
So, not yet. I think if they play in one more.
5.
Then they tie the record for the most overtime games in a season with the Green Bay Packers. But my question is this. You said that call, you know, they lost by more than 7 points. I get it. But sometimes calls like that can change the momentum of a game or change the perception of a game. The only reason I say that is I say this. The Cleveland Browns have played in 4 overtime games. Mm-hmm. So that means everything is crucial in all of their games. And if you look at the Cleveland Browns right now, by a matter of a touchdown, their record could be totally different.
Absolutely. But I also don't believe you dwell on the past. You know, you can't, you know, the NFL is not going to reverse, not going to go back and change what happened in that game. Mm-hmm. So, like I say, I think, you know, when players and coaches go and look at film, yeah, there's some things that stand out. I also think that as many bad calls or missed calls that there may be, there's some calls that, you know, that could have gone another, you know, another way. So I guess we have to be careful about dissecting too much in a game. You know, a play sticks out, especially at the end of games, because they're at the end of games. That's what we remember. You know, we're not collecting thoughts, you know, throughout the game and holding on to those, and then you know, coming back with a synopsis of everything that happened. We tend to magnify those things that happen at the end of games. I applaud my Browns for being competitive in 4 games, and yeah, obviously the outcome could have been different if a call goes here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, players have to play. You know, you got to go out there, and there's a ton of plays to be made. You know, you got to go all out every single play, and hopefully your play dictates the momentum, the outcome of a game versus a missed call or bad call.
I got to come back at you for a second. You said competitive in 4 games. Yeah, they played the 4 overtime games, but the Browns have been competitive in 6 out of their 7 games.
You're right.
Again, as I said, it's a matter of a touchdown. Mm-hmm. In some of the games, it's a matter of a field goal that changes the whole outcome. So the Browns, to me, are scary because they're trying to learn how to finish.
Right.
They just haven't learned how to finish yet.
Right.
But they've been in every game except for the Chargers game where they lost, 38-17 or something like
right.
that.
Right. And I think that bodes well for their, you know, for the makeup of their team going forward. You know, so now these young guys, this is a very young roster. They're being competitive, and you want to see that. You obviously, as coaches and fans, want to see, you know, wins. But at the same time, I look at it like this is progress. They weren't in nearly as many games like this last year.
Mm.
So this is something to move forward with, and to take positive steps, and be, you know, like, have a positive attitude. Yeah, I mean, things didn't work out for us, but you know, if we correct this or correct that, like one of the things for the Browns, and especially young teams, is penalties. I think during this season, I think penalties have hurt the Browns more than any ref call that may have been made against them or that wasn't made. You know, I watch them on a regular basis, and they're so, like false start, like pre-snap penalties are killer for any football team. I think the Browns are doing a phenomenal job of creating turnovers. I think they, if I'm not mistaken, I think they lead the league in turnovers. So, you know, that's a positive step. That's something to build on. And being competitive in, is a 6 out of 7 games is something to build on. You know, so they're close, but now they got to learn how to close games. You know, in that Oakland game, they were up. You know, I mean, you're up in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's time to learn how, you know, and maybe at the end of the season, as we move forward to the end of the season, maybe, you know, in a situation where they're up in a game, they learn how to finish because of that Oakland game, you know. And so that's, to me, that's what you want to look for, especially in a young football team or especially in a young team.
One of the things I can say about Cleveland, and I guess it even starts from the offseason, man, and you can tell that they made an effort to do whatever it took to improve, and you can see their disposition. You can see the arrow pointing up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going, and you know, with a goal, with right. a target. You can see they're totally a different team than the past 2-3 years, man. You can just see it.
We knew that coming into the season.
Yeah,
we knew that when we looked at the players, Miles Garrett.
But that's my point. Real peppers. Yeah, my point. The fact, but then they made those other moves too, grabbing Landry from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drafting, you know, Mayfield. Grabbing Tyrod Taylor.
How about letting go of Josh Gordon?
Yes, letting go. There it is right there.
Yeah, that's a move that you felt you had to make. Mm-hmm. You know, was it addition by subtraction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get better because you've gotten rid of something, you know, somebody who you felt wasn't good for your football team, not athletically, not right. talent-wise,
mm-hmm.
but you're looking to hold guys accountable and – And he, you know, I think they just had enough.
Yeah, and after a while, you got to draw the line.
You do, right?
Yeah, you
right.
do have to. So
he had a ton of chances.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of drawing the line, and speaking of knowing how to finish a game, and I don't know where they learned this from, because one time they were in St. Louis, now they're in L.A. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles Rams are 7-0.
Unbelievable, man!
And they finished games. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been games where they've won by just 2 points. They mm-hmm. won by a field goal.
Yeah.
You would have thought that they would have fell like the Chiefs fell. But they haven't, and then they're coming up and they're playing Green Bay this weekend.
That
I think they're playing the Packers.
Yes,
at home in Los Angeles. It's a Sunday afternoon game, 4:29 Eastern time.
Yeah,
but I mean, you're looking at the Rams, and I mean, man, I am so impressed. And I know we're running short on time for this half of the first quarter. But what do you guys think about when you think about the Rams?
You know, each week I just look at them more and more and just see how impressive they are. I mean, they're stacked. I mean, it's so good to see a well-balanced team. Good on offense, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley. Good on defense, Aaron Donald. I mean, look at what they're doing. And they're not just – I mean, yeah, they've won by two at times, but they just – you know, they have that look that we're going to beat you. You know, Aaron Donald having them 4 sacks last week. Just incredible. What a team.
Yeah, I agree with you. The thing that stands out is talent.
Yeah,
you know, you mentioned it. Yeah, Todd Gurley. I mean, they have Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks.
Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters. Yeah, Marcus Peters at cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just stacked up and down.
I think.
And you have some young guys who are just hungry and so they're talented and they're hungry. You know, so that's an awesome mix. For them,
mm-hmm.
and you talk about arrow pointing up.
Yeah, that's for sure. And they're enjoying it. And it's one thing when you see a team that is so locked in and they're playing so well, you can have fun. You're that confident.
Yeah. I mean, they're having fun at the expense of others.
That's how it's supposed to be, man.
Yeah, and they got this schedule, when you look at, they play the play the Packers tomorrow, and then they play the Saints, Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. And then you play the Seahawks, who they only beat by 2 points the last time they met in Seattle. And then they play the Chiefs.
Yes, yeah, tough stretch.
Just in those games right there, I think that the testament is going to – the proof is going to be in the pudding.
For sure. That's for sure. And this is a team that came off an 11 and 5 season, or was it 12-4, one of the two.
11-5.
11-5 yeah. season. It was just, you know, so very impressive. After Jeff Fisher leaves.
After they leave St. Louis. After that's what they, yeah. Must have been in the water.
Has, yeah, for sure. What is it with the kickers?
And we're going to find out when we come back. That's the end of the first quarter. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Ray Porter Jr., Trevin J. Jones, and Big Butt.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip-hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today Radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99, and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today.
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to
Urban Media Today Talks Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. We're talking NFL football right now. We were talking about the Los Angeles Rams, who are just doing their thing 7-0. We were also talking about the Cleveland Browns, who are actually kind of doing their thing because they played in four overtime games. In seven games, four of your games are overtime? Man.
It's incredible, man.
That is incredible. And they play the Steelers tomorrow in the afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, if I'm not mistaken.
You're correct, sir.
Interesting. And I brought that up because Ray said his last question before the end of the first quarter was, this is the second quarter, by the way, it's almost halftime. His question was, what about the kickers?
Unbelievable.
What's unbelievable about
them? I mean, so many kickers, and we're not just talking about any kickers. We're talking about some well-known Pro Bowl, future Hall of Fame kickers just missing at critical times. I mean, Adam Vinatieri missing two extra points, and we would know he ain't no young man no more, but Hall of Fame, I think, is in his future. And then you had Justin Tucker, missing the extra point, which could have tied the game against New Orleans, but because he missed it.
But isn't this what the NFL wanted?
That's why they moved it back to the 35-yard line, right? It's like it's almost like a field goal and kick for extra points.
Right. That is. I mean, the extra points aren't chip shots anymore. That's for sure.
Right. They didn't want them to be gimmies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is exactly what the league – if you ask me, this is what the league wanted. They didn't want kickers to be just, you know, it's automatic. So they moved it back, and you see what happens. There's a little bit more pressure, you know, to hit a longer extra point. So, I mean, it's just a part of the game to me. There's nothing weird that happened. There's nothing weird that's going on.
Well,
you know,
I disagree with that, though, man.
I mean, what's changed besides the kick being the extra point being moved back?
No, not even that. I'm just talking about the end result. We just never seen so many folks miss that like this. I mean, even Pittsburgh's Chris Boswell, Pro Bowler last year, missing extra points and missing field goals. Some folks that were proven to be Mr. Automatics, not so automatic this year. So it's just ironic that it's just so many thus far in one season.
Yeah, but see, with Justin Tucker, I mean, it's his time. He made 222 straight field goals. Right, I mean, extra points.
Right. We think about the accuracy that these guys have enjoyed over their career.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss the best miss, you know. I mean, they miss him. Yes. You know, I mean, long as it's not a trend with a particular kicker, I don't think it's a big deal.
Hmm. It's just unique. I mean, it stands out because there's so many of them missing. If it was one, okay, I can understand that. But so many of them are missing, and it's not even at the halfway point of the season.
I just think it's because Justin Tucker missed the field goal for the first time in 7 years. I mean, extra point. The first time in 7 years.
Sum it up, but before he missed that, I'm talking about the others too, though. So it may not be a big deal to y'all, but I'm just saying it stands out.
Look, I mean, it's another part of the game. You know,
missing field goals aren't part of the game.
I mean, no one's perfect though. Yeah. Like, there's no position in the game that plays at a perfect rate. None.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we've gotten used to an extra point being a given, and now it's not. That's all.
But I mean, like I said, remember, I'm not just saying extra points, though. I'm talking about prominent kickers that are used to just making certain field goals at certain times.
I mean,
too.
The only other thing I can point to, and in some ways it may jive with the kickers missing, and it may not. But you know, kickers are like, teams don't want to pay kickers. You know, you get a guy like Justin Tucker who is due to make, and not that this is his salary, but he's due to make $3 million or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the team says, you know what, yeah, we're not willing to invest that kind of money in this position.
Right.
So we're going to go with a younger, cheaper version
that can get the job done.
That can hopefully get the job done.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is to me, when you have players who have over their careers have been, you know, reliable, near perfection, you know, you've learned to count on them kicking wise in situations. And now you bring in guys, younger guys who don't have the same experience. I think that's, you know, it's a combination of some things. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing some young guys who just don't have the same experience, mm-hmm, being put in situations like, that guys have been in it for years.
Yeah. You know what they say? You have one job, and that's your job.
Yeah, but I kind of disagree with what you said earlier. I think missing field goals is part of the game. That's what makes football football.
Right.
The pigskin is shaped funny. So yeah, when you kick it, if you can be accurate every time, then the game would get boring.
Right.
And that's why, like what Vince said earlier at the beginning of the conversation, that's why the NFL moved it back to make it more interesting so that it just didn't become, okay, so now, case in point, as a play-by-play commentator, I always have to stop myself after a touchdown is scored to make sure I say 6 points,
right,
and not seven points.
Right, 7 points, absolutely.
Because there's no way of telling if that kick is going to go through, mm-hmm, or if the team goes for 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, as a fan, you don't automatically assume, right, it's 7 points. So when you give the score, and in those games, especially in college, like even the Morgan State Howard game that I just did last week, Morgan State blocked 2 point after touchdown attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the regular, was it a 13-yard kick?
Doesn't that make the game more exciting?
It makes it more exciting.
I mean,
because you're not guaranteed it's a 7 point.
Now, I understand as a fan rooting for your team, when your guy misses, you feel some kind of way.
Oh, of course.
But otherwise, you know, if you don't have a horse in the race, you're watching just for the enjoyment. You know, that's a part of the game. It's another drama filled a situation that's built into the game now.
Mm-hmm. They had one job, say no, but I see what y'all saying though. But they had one job. Okay, well then that just means I'm going to try out, become a place kicker then.
Oh, here we go.
If that's the case, then 46-year-old me, I'll get out there and show you what I got.
And which means nothing.
Exactly.
I don't give up.
You can go out there and tear a groin and rip up your hamstring.
Do I look like Martin Gramatica doing that after he kicked a field goal and celebrated?
That's the problem, is you don't look like Martin Gramatica.
You know what? See, I've always threatened to throw the towel at Trevor, Vince is coming at you now, okay?
That is funny. It's about time Vince stood up and started getting on you. So now he knows what I go through.
Oh, is that so, huh? Yeah. Well, like I said, kickers only have one job. They get paid to do that, so inexcusable.
All right, so let's talk about, if you're talking about kickers and they have only one job,
We talked about quarterbacks before. I get tired of talking about quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks, they do their thing. What about the running backs? Adrian Peterson getting off to an excellent start for the Washington Redskins.
For real, yeah.
Is he going to be able to keep it up?
I think he will. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to use wisdom with him, of course. But, I mean, the dude ain't – he's had – what, he had a one rough season technically, right? Right. And but so he's not broken and he's not an old man. But I'm thinking his presence inspired – put some life up in them, for real. You know, their outlook and everything. I mean, since Alfred Morris was there when he moved on, I mean, they didn't really have anybody in particular. But to see him up in there and doing his thing, yeah. I think he'll keep it up. He'll get his 1,000 this year.
Do you think he's going to get 1,000 yards this year?
And we know that it's not from a football player standpoint. Just average 63 yards a carry for 16 games, you're going to get 1,000 yards. So, I mean, he's a lock for it. But, of course, the key is as long as you stay healthy. He has none of them freak injuries.
1,000 yards. I don't know. I'm an AP fan. I like him. He's one of the top 10 rushers in the league, by the way. He's actually number 10. He has 438 yards at this point. He's averaging 4.3 yards a carry, which I'm loving. And he has 3 touchdowns. He's had 3 rushes for over 20 yards. I like that. But then when you look at the number 1 rusher in the league right now,
yes,
it's Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm. The with best. 686 yards.
I tell you.
He's averaging 4.8 yards a carry. His long was 29. He's run for over 20 yards on one carry 5 times already this
Incredible,
year.
Incredible, man.
And he has 11 touchdowns.
11 touchdowns.
So there's a big disparity between the two. Of course, we're talking a younger Todd Gurley and an older Adrian Peterson.
Right.
We're also talking offensive styles and different schemes. You know, Gurley right now playing for the Rams, who are just eating people alive. And then Redskins are on top of their division.
Incredible, man.
So Adrian Peterson's not playing for any slouches right now.
No, he's not. And just look at – and then I look at that list of rushers right there. Look at who's behind him. He's not hampered by
– Radio, Ray.
Huh?
Nobody can see what you're saying.
Well, I'm getting ready to say. You got to let the brother – you know what? The war is about to begin again. I was about to finish my point.
Go ahead.
Who's behind him? I said he was not – he's not hampered by suspensions this year. Ezekiel Elliott is trailing Todd Gurley. And both of those players are on pace for at least 15, maybe 1,600 yards.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I brought up running backs for a reason, and that's why, because I'm going to get to him in a second, who's number 5 on the list. Oh, number 4 right now as far as leading rushers in the league, Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. Is he Mr. Everything to the New York Giants right now?
Especially with how the Giants are, yeah, he very much is.
I mean, and I was impressed in the last game that I saw him. He's has 466 yards so far this season. He's averaging 5.1 yards a carry.
That's sick.
And he's run for over 20 yards 4 times this year, which I'm impressed with that as well, because I think as a rookie – and you're coming in and making your presence known. You're number 4 in the rushing as far as the rushing leaders. We're almost halfway through the season because this is after 7 games, okay? And he scored 5 touchdowns. I'm kind of loving what he's seeing. I'm interested. I'm hoping and keeping my fingers crossed and praying that he doesn't get hurt, because I don't want to see somebody with that type of talent, you know, get hurt. But he's playing for the New York Giants.
For sure. And it's just really just so tragic to see this team like that, you know. And I thought maybe it was a possibility they were going to get better after last year. No.
It's not tragic to me, because they had their chance.
Yeah.
In the draft. We talked about this before the draft. They knew Eli wasn't very good, but they didn't want to believe it. They should have. And I don't know how many of us. I know I had them taking a quarterback because that's what they needed.
But Ray Porter Jr. said from the jump that they were going to take Saquon Barkley.
I mean, I honestly thought that Eli was going to bounce back too. But yeah, dude is totally. He looking more like Archie Manning than he did Peyton Manning, man, or himself. So.
And I meant that as a compliment. I wasn't saying it as something derogatory towards you. You knew what you were talking about.
I knew what you meant. Yeah, well, that's nice, because I'm used to the other thing. But it's okay. And, of course, I'm kidding.
Can't even give him a compliment.
but I knew what you meant, though, Trevin. And truthfully, he's probably the one that's going to bring the people to the seats right now.
Yeah, because the Giants are getting rid of everybody.
Right. Yes, they are. Who they just traded? Eli Apple.
Hey, you know, they realize that they're not very good, you know, outside of Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon Barkley.
Oh yeah, and then there's him.
They're not very good, and they're realizing it now instead of looking at it. They had the chance in the offseason to go get their future quarterback, and they elected not to.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Saquon Barkley is a phenomenal player. Like, he's on pace for over 2,000 combined rushing and receiving yards.
Right.
Okay. So he's doing his thing. And I think there really wasn't a question as to what he brought to the table. But when you look at you can't miss at the top of the draft. And not that they missed with Saquon Barkley, but they missed by not getting their franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. Because you have Saquon Barkley not in his prime because he's just a rookie, but you have Odell Beckham, who's in his prime, who's only 24, 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How far back does your football team get now? Because now you need no matter what happens the rest of this season, you need a quarterback next year.
How is it that if Evon is so bad, that Odell Beckham Jr. is the fourth leading pass receiver in the
league? Because he does his thing.
He gets his. Yeah.
When Eli throws it, he catches it. But outside of that, Eli can't do much else.
And I'm going to watch how I say this, but because we know records don't always mean things, but they do. Just 2 years ago, this team was 12-4, though. They didn't last long in the playoffs. But it's just something, you know, so... I guess the end was coming, and now they got the.
But that's the balancing act that you have to have as a GM is, you know, I don't think that if going into the off season by picking a QB mm-hmm. that you're saying we're rebuilding. Now you have to rebuild now.
Yeah, basically
middle of the season.
I mean,
with a 1-6 record,
when you're 1-6, with no signs of turning that around.
You got your
star receiver grumbling,
like always.
Yeah, but that's what you get with, you know, we always have that with star wide receivers
or divas.
I mean, it is what it is. look, I almost feel like if you don't have one on your team, there's something wrong.
Speaking about having one on your team, it's the end of the first half. It's halftime. We're talking receivers. We're talking NFL. We talked running backs. We talked about the Browns earlier. We talked about the LA Rams. And we're going to continue with Vince is saying, talking about if you don't have a diva receiver on your team, you know, he's looking at the team kind of cross-eyed, like, what's wrong? It's Urban Media Today Talking Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butch, Ray Porter Jr. We'll be right back after this.